Gets mo ba? Do you understand? By Rain Angeles. A twist of anxiety and curiosity fitted itself into the pit of the stomach, days before I was set to travel home to the Philippines. It's become a tradition for my parents and me to see our extended family every 2 years, except this time I was bringing a plus one, my partner of 3 years. It was one of those inevitabilities that had plagued me since the relationship had gotten serious enough for me to meet his family. Yes, I am worried about first impressions and approvals and saving face during a faux pas and dodging questions about marriage and babies, but above all, I am worried about language and translation. The language most commonly spoken in the Philippines is Tagalog. It is the language of the province where I grew up, and it is my mother tongue. Mother tongue is being used as a turn of phrase and not literal because my mother's mother tongue is actually Kapampangan. But because I moved to New Zealand when I was barely 9 years old, it means I've spoken more English in my life than Tagalog. I always worry about my ability to communicate when I go back home. I worry about my fluency, comprehension, and keeping pace in conversation. There are words I stutter through trying to figure out the correct grammatical use. Nagyayaya, past tense, made plans to, versus magyayaya, present tense, making plans to. And there are sentences broken because I have lost the Tagalog word and must replace it with the English translation. Anong oras lilipat? Pwede ba half an hour? With no formal training in either language, I found myself in a situation where I had to be conscious of not only my own self-expression, but to also be able to communicate the intentions of others from one language to another. In the intimacy of my family home, it was not simply words I was translating. It was first impressions, attempts at playful banter, and efforts in earnest connections. Of all the things I had to translate, perhaps jokes were the most complicated, as they are often delivered quickly in conversation. And unfortunately, jokes in any language get less funny the more you explain them. There were moments I would find myself laughing heartily and then catch the clueless smile on my partner's face and realize I would have to relay the joke in English. Narinig niyo ba yung bagong slogan ng Bulacan? Tita asks as he drives us home from the airport. May bago na? Ano daw? Dad replies, looking out the car window. Go Bulacan, Tita smiles. Kasi daw lagi nakalubog. As I laugh, I blurt out in English, oh no, how do I translate that? As it invites another round of laughter, my dad is able to explain the pun. Bulacan is an area of the Philippines that faces major flooding every time monsoon season hits due to lack of investments in infrastructure and flood protections, and slogans can be a fun way of creating identity and community for many areas of the Philippines. The punchline is that the new slogan for Bulacan is Go Bulacan, which happens to be nakalubog when read backwards. And nakalubog translates to submerged or sunken, commonly underwater. And we were all able to laugh along. But other family members were too quick-witted, and wordplay is often built on top of someone else's wordplay, ultimately becoming a round robin of puns. At those points, I could only helplessly translate the fragments of a punchline, during which my partner once said, just give up on this one, I think it may be too complicated. The labor of translation, especially in real time, sometimes mean curating the paragraph into a sentence. My favorite translations are phrases and expressions, phrases that often don't have a direct translation to a commonly used English phrase, yet are commonly used in the everyday language of Tagalog. Sarap tumawa. Tagalog. Expression. Literal. Delicious laugh. 1. When someone laughs so heartily that it makes you feel good to hear it. 2. Used to refer to the laughter of someone else, usually a small child. Ang sarap naman tumawa, I clap, smiling at the toddler that waddles towards me. It prompts another laughter from his lips, and my heart feels full at the sound. Tinamad sa init. Tagalog. Expression. Literal. Lazy from the heat. 1. when the unbearable heat has caused one to abandon plans and stay home instead. 2. Use as an explanation for why plans have fallen through, sometimes used teasingly towards someone who's been asleep slash laying down the whole day. Ano ba plano niyo mamaya? Tita asks. Lalabas po sana kaso? I pause to make a face. Tinamad sa init? Tita smiles sympathetically. Ganun talaga dito. Pahinga na muna kayo sa malamig. Asim na nakakakilig. Tagalog. Phrase. Literal. A sour taste that causes shivers. 1. Tasting a flavor so sour that it sends a shiver through the body. 2. Used to describe a strong flavor positively, often expressed as a craving.
Masyado ba maasim? Lola asks nervously.
Mas masarap nga po pag maasim, I smile, trying to hide my mouthful.
Para ka pala si Ama, Tita smiles. Hindi yun kumakain ng sinagang kapag hindi nakakakilig ang asim.
These phrases reflect the lifestyle and philosophies of Filipino culture through the use of words that consciously evoke feelings. Empathy is embedded into expressions that can be as mundane as describing a flavor that sends a shiver down one's spine, or a sound that tastes so delicious. The ways in which Tagalog embraces emotions in its language create space for community, giving each other the ability to be seen and felt in conversation. Although truthfully, there wasn't much that had to be translated, as my family knew a fair amount of English. In fact, most school curriculums are expected to include a basic knowledge of the English language. Because of the history of economic struggle in the Philippines, speaking and understanding English fluently was seen as a skill for economic opportunity, overseas, and also a social status symbol. English language movies and shows are available on broadcast television and online streaming, and social media makes English language videos and posts accessible for consumption. The language is not far out of reach, but there is a difference between consuming and understanding the words and sentences, and being able to practice speaking the language itself. There were instances where people who I'd always known to be chatty and boisterous suddenly turned timid when speaking English. Their endless and expressive ramblings were simplified into brief words, as the ability for self-expression becomes limited in an unpracticed language. And most people would introduce themselves only by a given name, omitting the cultural honorific of who they are in my family. Terms such as tita and tito, aunt and uncle, ate and kuya, older sister and older brother, are honorifics used to refer to someone older than yourself, and are a means of showing respect. They are not strictly used within blood-related relatives. For example, a female friend of your mum can be referred to as tita, despite there being no ancestral relation. Yet if I were to call them by their names alone, it would be disrespectful. Personally, this practice of referring to a relative or family friend with an honorific is one that transcends language. Say, if I knew a Filipino woman named Sierra, who was my mum's age, a significant age difference that calls for the respectful use of an honorific, I wouldn't just omit the word tita, because I've switched to speaking English. Even when speaking to someone else in English, I still feel compelled to refer to them as tita, because it would otherwise feel rude and unnatural. These adjustments they've made in response to the difference in cultures and the gaps in language were the hardest to translate. It's the tail end of our road trip to Baguio, and while I was fussing with my hair, my partner had been pulled to eat breakfast in an adjacent room. Gathering my hair into a clip, I hear my name echo from somewhere outside the door. Rushing over, before I can even take in the situation, my grandmother appears with a plate in her hand. We need a translator.
Yung plato na kinakainan niya masyado maliit. Kawawa naman, di nagkakasya yung pagkain niya. Sinasabi namin palitan niya nito, pero di yata kami nagkakaintindihan.
Chuckling, I take the plate and approach my partner. They want to swap out the plate you're eating off of because it's too small to fit your food. They're offering you this one in exchange.
Oh, sorry, I just didn't want to dirty the dishes, he explains while taking the other plate.
No, I figured, but they feel bad watching you eat off a small plate. They want you to have a bigger one so you can enjoy more food. I often found myself bridging the gaps between family's limited practice with English and my partner's eagerness to communicate. Although my family understands how they ought to perform the language, is trained by television shows and online videos, they are still confined within their lack of practice. But where language fails them, actions translate their heart and intent. My family compensates for my partner's loose grasp of their culture with an understanding of his. And along the way, they show him the best of Filipino hospitality. Homes are never without spare indoor slippers. There's always a cup of tea or coffee to prolong a visit. And plates will never be without food. Language is a delicate thing. Translation comes with the risks of misunderstanding or misconstruing intentions. Language weaves together the philosophies of its people with expressions and turns of phrase. Love, loss, and comfort all find various meanings in the different languages they are spoken in, enriching the way our world is understood. During this short trip back home, I was able to share my culture with someone else in a way that I had never done before. I was laid bare between two languages, spoken in Tagalog and then translated to English. To exist between two languages is a privilege. To be able to share it with someone else is a gift.